This episode is sponsored by Skirmish. Go to skirmish.net to find out all you need to find out about Skirmish system. And if your field, your local field that you play at, or an event coming up that you are going to attend does not have this system set up, then inquire about it to your event host or field owner, because this thing is awesome. And the other sponsor is Jackal Tactical. They are storefront up in Pennsylvania, run by Paul Whitman. I've had him on the podcast. Go to jacktact.com to find out more. Thank you so much to both of those sponsors of this episode. Now let's get into the podcast. All right, all right. What's up, dude?
Not much, man. Just got home from playing and like literally just walked in the door. So
nice. Yeah, welcome, man. Brother.
Yeah, thanks for having me on here.
Absolutely. I like your dude, that's a great picture in the back. Is it Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan, yeah.
Love that one.
Yeah. Right above my bed.
Yeah.
It's like as long as that thing too. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah.
It's cool, man. So I met you through OG KG.
Yeah, OG KG.
So anyone that watches or listens to this podcast, OG, who I had on the podcast, it's episode 315. If you guys want to check it out, I'll tag it in here as well, or put it in the description. He was in South Carolina in Myrtle Beach area, and he had just started playing airsoft like just a few months ago, within the last 6 months, something like that. And I had him on the podcast right away because I found him on through Houdini and a few other guys that he was talking with, Airsoft Dad. And he just passed away this past week. You know, he passed on, and it was a shocker to all of us. We were, you know, just for the short time that I talked with him on here, he was amazing, awesome to talk with. Him and I are like a year apart in age, and entered the military around the same time. And so we had a great conversation. If you guys want to check that out, go check out episode 315 with OG. And what I was really, really grateful for, bro, was that he was able to get his story out there, you know, because he got kind of personal in the podcast. So it was important for him to, you know, to him to get some of that stuff out. So I'm really glad he did. Obviously, we're all in shock still, to be honest. So Carolina Void is your Instagram handle.
Yeah.
And I think your airsoft team, and your name's Ethan. Welcome to the podcast, man. I appreciate you being on, and I wanted to get you on here soon after all this stuff had just come out. And you were really close with OG, so you had played with them over there in some of your guys' close fields. So give a background on yourself and introduce yourself and all that, and then we'll get into kind of how you guys met and all that.
Yeah, man. So my airsoft career started like right after Christmas. I was like, yeah, man, I'm about to go play airsoft. I'm like, I'm getting all the stuff. You know, I've never played before. I went out, bought my MTW, you know.
Dang.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, good gun to start off
with. What were you watching? What was your influence?
So I had a friend that was in it. He's on the local team down here. It's called Alphas. And he was like, yeah, so whenever you like I'm like, what's the best gun that I can get right now? You know, like, I don't want to buy like a piece of crap gun that's just going to break on me in a few months, right? It's like, okay, well, I know the best gun for you. Buy an MTW. I'm like, that's like $700. I'm like, yeah. Okay. So yep. I said, all right.
You asked.
I said, okay. So I spent the money, you know, and then I went out there and immediately I fell in love with it, man. Like, I've been looking for something to just get away from my other stresses in life. And this was a really good, you know, just to be out there, you know, and like play with other people and meet some new people. And then started playing around January and been going out every weekend that I can since, really. And I met OG at my field in Black Ops Myrtle Beach. And that was like, I want to say a month and a half ago. So, but in that month and a half, me and him grew pretty close, and he's the one that inspired me to start my team. And he tried to get us sponsors and tried to get us to where we want to be today. But, you know, as like I said, it's a new team, so I know that's going to take time, but he really like shot us up into where we were trying to get to. So,
yeah, he did that. He had that ability, man, like to motivate.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly. Like he was on top of everything. When him and I first started chatting through like Instagram, bro, we were chatting every night.
Yeah. Me and him too. Yeah.
Yeah. Every night. And then we'd call, like he would call me or I would call him. And the funny thing was, he didn't really know how to use Instagram that much, but he was killing it. Like for real.
He's doing good. Yeah.
I was like, dude, he's like, I don't know how to do all this stuff. I'm like, you obviously do. You're doing great.
Yeah, he's a quick learner.
Uh-huh.
I'll say.
He's passionate, bro. He was passionate about everything he did.
Passionate.
Yeah.
Yeah, he gave back to the community that we were in, too. Every single time we go out there, he'd either give out a patch or some mag bands or both. You know, every time. It didn't matter who. It was somebody new always. And, you know, I've seen those kids that got stuff come back to the sport, like, over and over again. So, you know, it really does change people when you give them stuff whenever they're first starting, you know, welcome into the community. So that's something that I'm trying to start now. So today I gave out a few mag bands to some kids that I knew, just trying to get them all back in the groove. Told them it was from OGKG, of course.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Good deal, man. So are you from South Carolina? Did you grow up where you're at now?
Yeah, I grew up here. I was born in North Carolina in Hickory. Okay. So,
Hickory, man, I've been in Hickory a bunch of times. Okay.
Yeah, my family's from Greensboro, so
gotcha.
That's like the spot, you know. We go up there pretty often. Never played in Fayetteville though. I want to go soon. I know they're having an event this weekend, but you know, it's a long drive for me. It's like in three
they have hours a big field out there.
Yeah, it's a lot bigger than the one in Myrtle for sure.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And the one in Myrtle is like only three like areas. So
okay,
theirs is supposed to be like huge. I don't know, at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I heard Shot Zone was this weekend too, which is kind of cool. And watched a little bit of that.
Right, yeah, I did see something on that. Yep.
Yeah, I think Neo killed it. So I don't know.
Yeah, Shot Zone, that's right. That's where so OG the plan was he was going to drive out there with Houdini.
Yeah,
and Akimbo.
Yeah.
And go to a Shot Zone. Yep.
Yep. And that was supposed to be Friday.
Right.
Or Thursday or something. He was going to go stay up there. And then, I went over to his house on Wednesday to pick up a gun for one of my friends with one of my friends. And we just got to the door, man. And like his wife came out and I said, yeah, we're looking for Kevin. He's like, yeah, he passed away. And
dang. I mean, what a shocker. So you found out firsthand from his wife. And
A lot of the community found out too. Literally, I called Akimbo as soon as I left and made sure he was okay, because I know he was really close with him.
Yeah.
And man, it was tough. That night was real tough for me and real tough for Akimbo. So
I sent, speaking of OG's wife, I sent her the links to the videos, and I told her I could, you know, to the one episode on all the different platforms or whatever, the audio and the video, and I save all these on a hard drive, and actually there's about 20 minutes, 15 minutes or so of stuff that him and I recorded before, like when we first started talking, and he had to fix his, he was using his phone to record the podcast. Actually, he's the only one on here so far on any of my episodes that used Instagram video call to do the podcast, because he didn't know any other platforms.
Yeah,
he didn't know Zoom. He didn't know Discord. I didn't want to have to, you know, kind of help like was like, don't worry about it, man. It will just work with yours and I'll record the screen. It'll be fine. So when we first started, his the lens was real. I said, dude, I think you need to clean your lens. He's like, oh, I know what it is. So anyone watching, or if you guys go back and watch the very beginning that I actually left in the podcast, he's explaining his case, his phone case.
Yeah.
And he shows a little dimple on there that where he got shot, his wife shot at him with a gel blaster, and it dented the case right where the camera was. So he had to take that part of the case off so the camera was clear for the podcast. Well, anyway, that's, if anyone's watching or had seen that episode and you're wondering, why is he talking about this? that's when I started, you know, or I left that in there because I thought it was a cool story, but that's why he's talking about it, because he had to take that off for us to record. So, but yeah, anyway. Yep.
He's always got some quirks like that, you know. He always got something new. Know. Something new. Yeah, man.
Oh, dude, he was great, man. Yeah. Was, so man. What a beautiful soul. That really, man, it took the airsoft community by storm, honestly.
Yeah, he, because he was all in that he was in there, he knew everyone, you know. He got all around in, everybody.
Yeah.
He was hardworking, man.
Yeah, for sure.
That was one of his mottos. Hardworking MF-er. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, he's very humble too when we talked. Yeah. Yeah. So you guys met at the field. Mm-hmm. And of course I got his story, how he started and how he got into it and everything. And then so you guys met there and then you started your team.
Yep.
And so yeah, you haven't really been playing that long. I mean, that's good. It's you're growing fast. You got you're starting out decent. You already got a good gun to start with, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I just bought an AAP from Houdini, so that will be here next weekend.
Oh, dude, nice. Play with.
Yeah. And one of my buddies was buying the AAP from OGKG. So that's why we were there at his house that day, you know, to go get that. And I'm honestly glad I was there to talk to his wife and get her information and stuff and make sure that she was okay. And,
didn't you, I just saw a post on your Instagram the other day on your story, I think, that you were taking food over to her or something.
I did. I took food over to her. I've been over to her house. I went today. I went yesterday.
Okay.
Basically every day since. So
yeah.
I took food over the first day, and then yesterday I went and got a bunch of pictures of his gear and stuff for people that needed it, and his patches and stuff that we might sell off. I did pick up some of his patches today as well, which I'm going to post later on my story.
Gotcha.
They want to sell those for $50, and all that money is going to go back to his wife for the
funeral
stuff. So
good. Dude, what you're yeah, that's great, man. Man. We all appreciate what you're doing there since you're close in the vicinity there, and yeah
man, I owe it to him. Good 100%. He was trying to get us to where we wanted to be, and he was getting us there, so I'm trying to talk to those people that he was in contact with and trying to keep that going, keeping that alive. So yeah, finish what he started,
right?
Yeah.
So you started in January. Are you still in high school? Did you graduate?
Yeah, I'm gonna be a senior next year, so
okay.
Yeah.
So you're a junior now. So you're what, 17?
Yeah. Probably soon. Yeah, soon.
June. Okay. And going all in. I see you got the Speed QB shirt on.
Yeah, this is the shirt that I've worn since day one.
Really?
The whole thing on the back. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
So I got this like the second week I played, and I'm like, yeah, man, I'm playing this. This is my sport.
Have you played any of the Speed QB tournaments yet?
I haven't. Shot Zone, I wanted to go so bad.
Oh,
and
yeah.
My mom was like, nah. And I was like, okay. And he was probably going to take me if I went. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll get there, man. You get there. I mean,
maybe next year. Probably next year. We'll probably get there. So, yeah.
Now, were you able to go to the one in Florence with him, with OG?
The Florence field? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we tried to go every other weekend. That was our goal. So I went up there once with him, and I rode in the car with him that one time.
Yeah.
And, He just talked about everything, man. Like anything you could have thought of, we were talking about it.
Yeah.
Talked about his wife a lot, you know, and how he wanted to, you know, spend the rest of his life once she retires, like in a camper van, traveling around the United States, you know, playing airsoft. I'm like, damn, that's a cool life.
That's right there. Cool. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Man. and talked about a bunch of other stuff. He served 21 years as a Ranger. Talked about how he got like shot in the arm and stuff, and like, yeah, stuff like that. So yeah, it was I'll remember that car ride for a while, for sure.
I'm sure, bro.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, what an impact he had.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank God he was able to get a little bit of a story out here, yeah. And also through you and your Instagram and your all the different things that he was doing, you know, getting pictures with people. So you don't really think of that. You know, that's the thing, man. We don't really think of that every day. We really get so caught up in our daily lives, but our daily chores and our daily the work, right? Just the whole thing that we're doing every day. And we really forget that we are not promised tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know, man. We really don't know. It's there's different whatever circumstances that and things. And my wife and I, we pray for all of our kids every day, bro, because and our grandkids. We have 5 children that are in their 20s and 7 grandkids. And we really pray for them every day because we don't, you know, we just hope that we outlive them.
Yeah.
Or that we, you know, we go first. It's always a parent's wish, I guess, is to and hope, you know, that our kids outlive us, I guess is what you say. But yeah, man. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, so
the sun comes up every day until it doesn't.
That's it, buddy.
Yeah, man.
That's it. Yep.
So, I'm going to turn this light on real quick.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Hopefully that will give me a little bit more light here.
Yeah, it looks good. So, and I appreciate the headset, the nice mic. Your audio sounds awesome.
Yeah, I play games.
Okay.
In my part time. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Yeah, man. Yeah, so do you have any other siblings or
other sisters? I have a stepsister and a little sister. Yeah.
Okay. So you're the big brother.
Yeah.
Nice.
So
big in age and probably bigger than them as well.
Taller. Yeah. Yeah. I was a pretty little short dude a little while ago. Then I kind of shot up. So yeah, let me go close this door too. Love it.
Yeah, that's I have 2 sisters, an older one and a younger one. And the older one was bigger until I hit puberty, about 11 or 12.
Yeah.
And then
sister was too.
Yeah. And then I was like, psh, you ain't picking on me anymore, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. They know you play airsoft?
Sisters? Yeah, yeah, they do. Well, I mean, they always ask me to take them everywhere, so.
Right,
yeah, I can't take you this weekend, you know, I'm playing airsoft, so
yeah.
Like, really dope, you're out there every weekend. I'm like, yeah, putting in the time.
That's good, man. Have you seen there's a lot of speed soft teams in this area, like South Carolina, Tennessee, Florida, you know, not too far away. Like Tennessee is probably one of the closest where there's a lot of speed teams, you know, Houdini and those guys are part of, and they play, you know, pretty competitive tournaments, you know?
Yeah. That's Shot Zone. Like what I was talking about. Yeah. They all played in that. I think I saw 4 teams. I saw Slaughter Gang, OEM and Neo. Those were the 3 teams that I watched.
Yeah.
And, they're all really, really good, man.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'll strive to be there at one point, but, you know, it's going to be, take some time, take some effort, you know?
So what, when you play indoor like that, what do you, cause obviously like, the Black Ops paintball, that's outdoor, right?
It is outdoor. Yeah.
So then when you go to the indoor stuff, like the Ace, was it Airsoft South Carolina CQB you guys went to recently in Florence, that's indoor. Do you change up your gear at all, or do you run different stuff, or would you like to run different stuff indoor or outdoor?
Yeah. So that's why I'm getting the AAP. So the AAP is going to be, I'm a big fan of pistols too, but I, you know, starting on an outdoor field is just kind of like, you know, you have to have a rifle.
Right.
And that's the good thing about OGKG. He used high capos the whole time we were playing. Yeah, and he was supposed to be getting two new rifles whenever we were there, but you know, they haven't come in yet. But yeah, the indoor play style is a lot different. You have to be a lot more careful, and because like you can see a BB whenever it's coming at you outdoor and like move in time. But indoor, it's either you're getting blasted or you're not. So
yeah,
and the Airsoft South Carolina CQB, they don't have a speed soft like field yet. OGKG was talking to them about that and trying to get them to do it, and they also don't have HPA yet, but they're working on that. And since they're such a new field, they really pride themselves on just the CQB like aspect. So it's more of like a milsim right now.
Yeah,
for indoor CQB. And to be honest, he said it was like some of the best CQB you can find. They had doors and stuff that you could breach. It was cool.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, man. Some crazy angles too. So it's not really like your normal, like average indoor arena, you know?
Okay.
It's like special. Yeah, doorways and corners and all that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the tournament play is pretty popular, man. Once the guys get started, and it's good for competition. Like just if you're pretty competitive, it's great for that, because once you start playing, like most of the people I've seen and talked with, and then this is what happened with me as well with paintball back in the 90s, was that once I went to my first game, just to, you know, me and my buddies, whatever, I was like, I wanted more. I didn't just want more gameplay. I wanted better gameplay. I wanted to test how good I could get, you know? So we would set up, you know, and most of the guys I played with, I was pretty fortunate because almost everybody we played together, that all played together, we were all very competitive. So we wanted to try different things and formats or whatever, so that we could test, okay, who's really better, you know? Yeah. And so yeah, that's a typical progression when somebody gets started in it. And especially around your age, you know, a lot of speed teams are younger, you know?
Yeah. And I've seen a lot of them not last too long because people go to college and then you have to deal with all that stress, you know. But I started out in paintball too. Whenever I was young, I started playing paintball with my dad, like whenever I was 12. And that's I got like my first electric gun when I was like 13. And I just loved playing speedball, man. Speedball was like where it was at. The competition, I was playing against like the team whenever they were practicing out there, the local team. And I just love that. And then just kind of moved away from it for a little while because it got really stressful. And then I couldn't go out as much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely more expensive. In the long run. It is crazy.
Yeah. The guns cost a lot less, but it's like, what, 2,000 paintballs for like $50?
That's crazy.
You run through that in like a couple of hours. You know,
oh, that's
crazy. Playing speedball. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, all that, when I was playing in the 90s, it was way, 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 way cheaper. So,
I bet.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so you start out paintball. That's cool.
Yeah. Paintball, I think, is where a lot of people start. A lot of my team members started, though, with just, like, the normal airsoft route, where you go with, like, a crappy AEG and then get, like, you know, HPA, tap the AEG, and then sell that and get a new gun. Kind of thing. So that's like where a lot of my team members are right now. They're all getting their guns squared away so that we can start playing speed soft when we get the chance. So
that's
I good, hope to get to that point one day.
Good deal. So you got plans. What do you have planned for this year? Like do you have any tournaments you want to go to, like in the next few months or anything? I know something, you know, for this weekend, obviously these plans have, you know, got put on the back burner, you know, with a lot of you guys, but what, anything coming up that you'd like to attend?
Yeah. So the real issue right now is, like, you know, since we're pretty young and a young team in general,
right.
We just, you know, lost the old guy. So, you know, I can't drive 12 hours to Nashville.
No.
And, you know, especially going to Florida and stuff like that, you know, it's still another 13 hours. Georgia's more realistic, but they're also a Milsim community down there.
Yeah.
and around us, all the events are Milsim based. So when we do find a Speedsoft event down here, which I haven't really looked that much because we're still getting this team squared away. So
sure.
We lost one of our members, you know. So
yeah.
I got to find somebody else to fill that spot. And we're still working on that part. But once we get all that squared away and get where we need to be as a team and then start playing some and practicing, we hope to go to an event by like October, I think would be a good goal. So
okay. I'm looking up the new year. Airsoft fields near me because I know you're by Myrtle Beach, so I'm in Simpsonville, South Carolina. It's about 3.5 hours from where you're at. So things around here aren't really going to be, you know, an easy drive for you know, you and your family or whatever to come out here, but something out in your area. Let's see where we can.
Yeah, so we have the ASCQB.
Yeah.
We have Black Ops and yep. Myrtle Beach, Black Ops in Fayetteville. We have GE, which is in Georgia, which I want to go to. We will make it to GE at some point.
Really?
Yeah, that's an indoor arena, and it's supposed to be really cool. So maybe they're hosting an event. I just haven't looked yet.
Oh, let me look them up. Let's see what we can find real quick, because I haven't heard of that field. GE Airsoft.
GE Airsoft. Yeah, it's in like a shopping mall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And then like people are shopping in the mall and they're
yeah, sure.
Big window and they yeah. can see people playing airsoft in
what?
The window. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. So the first time I heard about that type of thing was when I had this guy on Stu, who runs Defro Airsoft podcast. And he lives in Japan. And so they went to him and his buddies went to a mall, shopping mall, and there's a little tiny airsoft field in there. And he said it was really funny. He was telling us on the podcast the story because he's like 6'1 or 6'3, right? And you can imagine in Japan, right? Him and his friends and all his friends are from, he's from Australia and his friends are from overseas as well. So they're all like his size and they're all yeah. geared up and they're walking through the mall. So they look like giants walking through. And he's like, dude, people were looking at us like, somebody call the cops or something. But they went yeah. to this shopping mall to play in this little tiny thing. So it worked out pretty cool. But yeah, I got their website pulled up. I'm actually going to share the screen real quick.
Yeah, me and my friends do that. Whenever we're playing at Black Ops, we'll head to the gas station with our kits on and stuff just to be fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fun. People are like, yeah. What the hell?
Yeah, we get some weird looks.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right, let's see events here. They got a calendar.
Oh, nothing in May.
Right.
Nothing in June. Nothing in July.
I wonder if maybe they, or maybe you have to click on the, no? Okay.
No, I don't know how long they've been around either. I've heard about them through a friend
yeah.
that has another team.
Okay.
He really likes going there, so.
Let's see what they got here. If they have any pictures of the field. Ooh, look at this.
There you go. Yeah.
Here we go. We got to watch this. Now, that's kind of cool, man. Look, I mean, that's a big storefront.
Yeah.
For a mall thing. Like, what?
The field looks big, too.
That's crazy. Yeah. I can't believe it's in a mall.
Yeah. So you can see the little windows. Wait, maybe that's a door. Never mind.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see if it shows.
I guess they're covered up right now.
I mean, because it's kind of difficult to get a large spot in a shopping mall.
Oh, there it is. There's that window.
Oh, yeah. Over here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. See,
oh, look. Walking. People are walking
yeah.
through the mall.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
Holy cow.
I know. It would be so sick to play.
You know what, though? Now that I'm thinking about it, you know, shopping malls have been taking a huge hit in the last like 5 years because of online shopping.
Yeah.
And so there's been a lot. So I bet they look how big of a.
Yeah, and storefront, the real estate in there is pretty cheap, too.
This is crazy.
Yeah, and like I said, I think it's in Georgia.
So yeah, let's look like up where it's at.
It's like a four-hour drive, I think, for me.
Oh, okay.
Maybe five.
What a cool video they got for that, too, man. That's good.
Yeah, some nice drone footage. Let's see where
they're at. Yeah.
Year.
All right. They are at.
Yeah, Georgia.
Yep.
Lawrenceville, Georgia.
We're going to look it up. Actually, it had the map thing on there when I pulled it up the first time. I just didn't click on it. Let's see how close. Lawrenceville. Okay. Oh, yeah. That's all the way on the other side of Georgia.
Yeah. So for me, it's 5.5, almost 6 hours.
Yeah. Cause, well, you're up here somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. That's pretty close.
That's a far drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that looks cool, man.
Columbia. Yeah, man.
Okay.
At some point for sure. And it's only an hour flight for like $100.
So, oh, that's the way to go right there, dude.
Yeah. Just fly.
That's the way to go.
Yeah. I hate driving. It sucks. Especially long distance.
Long distance. I know, man. It sucks.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a cool little field that, I want to play at some point. Probably this summer we'll go there.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a, I mean, once you get out of South Carolina, there's definitely a few Speed QB type of fields for that they can hold events. I mean, obviously Shot Zone's fairly new, honestly. Yeah. Just in the last few years. And then up north, like Northeast, up by New York and stuff, there's a bunch of, you know, indoor fields that.
Yeah, I know there's a bunch of fields like up in Baltimore and stuff. And that's the company that I work for is based out of there. So
okay.
I plan to go up there at some point too. And or I hope to go up there at some point. And I'd probably play up there a couple of times when I'm up there as well.
What kind of work you do?
I do IT. So just like I work for an MSP. And provide computers for companies and stuff like that. So
nice.
Yeah.
Good deal. How'd you get into that?
I've always liked doing stuff like that. I've been doing a lot of stuff with like microcontrollers whenever I was a kid and messing around with those and just stuff like that. Always liked my computer, you know. Always tried to figure out how much I can do with it, stuff like that.
Gotcha.
And I just got that job, applied for it, and you know, that was about it.
So, nice.
Rest is history, kind of.
Yeah, thing. Right.
Yeah,
Southern yeah. I had one of the younger guys I had on here. He's in South Carolina as well, like more so in this. Well, kind of like Columbia area. He was on the podcast twice actually. He, Mr. Cactus Jones is his YouTube handle. So he, I think it was the second time I had him on. He starts talking about. Oh my God, I can't even think of it, what the word is now. It was he said this, some kind of little tiny thing that, like, it's a little computer thing that runs, strawberry pie. Or raspberry or something like that, pie or something.
Raspberry pie, yeah.
And I'm going, what are you talking? Are you talking about food? Like, the way he said it and was just talking, like, you know, like I would understand it. And I'm like, I'm actually pretty tech savvy sometimes, but I'm not up on the new stuff, whatever. And he was, he was like, no, it's this little controller. It's like a little, he's like, oh, I can play Nintendo games on it. I can do this, but it's like a little mini computer. And I'm like, okay, bro. Like, I don't know. I thought you were talking about food. And he's like, So I learn a lot while I'm interviewing people on here. You know, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Little Raspberry Pi is a little tiny computer, basically. And you can plug it into a bunch of stuff. It connects to the Wi-Fi if you have a adapter for it. And, yeah, there's a lot of things that people do with that. It's a very popular thing. They were sold out all last year and all during COVID.
Okay.
So people haven't really been able to get their hands on them, but they're back in stock now. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
That he was talking about this hobbyist keyboard. Okay. He's like, I ordered this keyboard. It was $300, and I go.
Yep. That's like what
for a keyboard. He goes, yeah, man. And then he starts telling me he had to kind of partway build it himself because he had to put the keys on. And I said, $300, it doesn't even come built. What? So you have one as well?
Yeah. So let me There you go. It's just a little Logitech one, but it comes off like that, the keys. And you see how that's a blue switch?
Right.
They have different color switches that make different noises and have a different feel. And people get into keyboards. And then once you get into a keyboard, can't stop getting into a keyboard. And I had this guy at my work that paid like $800 for his keyboard because he has just like the best switches, best keycaps, best everything. I know, right?
But bro,
it does sound good though. It sounds really good.
Okay.
I will say.
I'm going to trust you on that. Yeah. I mean, my little clicky clack, you know, $10 keyboard here. I don't know, dude. Like,
yeah, it's nerd stuff. So,
you
can't really get much nerdy than that. I mean,
right.
It's pretty
nice. He did have some special keys he made. And he also 3D printed. So, he would make his own keys and stuff. Bro, see? Oh, you need to get in touch with him. You guys would get along great. His name's Robert. Yeah. He actually, I want to show this. Hold on a second. I want to show this on my Instagram because I want to give him a shout out because he's pretty cool. So he made me a, while we were talking on that podcast, he said, yeah, I'm into this. I'm into that. This Pi thing and this, you know, keyboard, whatever. Contraption. And he's like, oh, I also make charcuterie boards. Now, mind you, in this one podcast, I learned two new words. Okay. This Raspberry Pi thing that I thought was food, that was a computer. And then this charcuterie, I was like, I don't even know what a charcuterie board is. Am I saying it right? And he's like, yeah, that's, I said, okay, what is this? He's like, it's like a, anyway, let me show you. So I said, okay, can you make a special one for me for a giveaway? So he did.
It's like a cheese board, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
This thing was awesome. I'm going to have to scroll for a hot minute on this. Let's see here. So he had like a laser engraver or something like that too.
Oh yeah.
And so he would make the wood and then engrave. And so he made this really badass.
So instead of a Raspberry Pi, which is where a lot of techie people start, this is called an Arduino. Right here, this is the kit.
Oh, that might have been what he was talking about too. Okay. Let me show you. I've heard that word. It's like a mini computer as well?
Yeah, it's called a microcontroller. So
it controls microcontroller.
Like servos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There you go.
There we go.
See that? Yeah. So you just plug your computer into one side and you can program it, and it has it's written in C++ is the programming language.
This sounds very familiar. He might have been talking about something like that as well on this one podcast.
That's for a whole different thing, though. So, like, if you're trying to control, like, a door or something. Or
okay.
Some lights, you know, that's what you want to use instead of a Raspberry Pi.
Right. Okay, I'm almost there. Good Lord.
Nerd we have
a lot of posts on our Instagram. Okay, now I'm getting down to the giveaways. We used to do giveaways. So our channel started out as a mystery box unboxings and reviews on what we would get in those boxes. And then we would do giveaways on the stuff that we did reviews on. Okay, here it is. So you can see like a lot of our posts, we actually did airsoft stuff before I did the podcast. Yeah. So right here, you see that right there? He made that.
Whoa, that one's sick.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, that's sick.
So look, this giveaway had, this is the, did I even put what it was? No, this is for Valentine's Day, a couple years ago. So I got this from him, this gun.
Yeah, it takes small mags. So like a MP5 or
yes,
like a vector mag.
Uh-huh.
Or Glock.
I can't remember what it was, man, but we got this, and then the site we got in a mystery box as well. And then this sling I actually bought from Gunfather Milsim. So his YouTube channel is called Gunfather Milsim. He's somewhere in the middle of Nebraska, somewhere in Nebraska. He's been law enforcement on a SWAT team for almost 20 years. He's a SWAT officer and he's a sniper. And I had him on twice on here actually. And he makes his own slings. They're bungee slings. and they're awesome. Like, he actually uses them in real life, like on the real steel job, right?
Yeah.
And so I bought one. I bought a couple of them. Me and my sons bought them. And so I put that on the add that into the giveaway. So it was pretty cool. But yeah, Robert, you would really get along with this dude. You guys have a lot in common. And you would, I'm gonna send you his
Insta. Yeah.
Yeah, his Insta. Yeah, definitely. He switched over to, like, he just started switching over to photography.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a friend that's trying to get into that. He's gonna be taking all of our pictures from a little while on. Like a month, he's gonna get his camera and all that. So
oh good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll send you this here in a second on your Insta right now. There you go. So I don't forget. Yeah, reach out to him. Tell him you met me, or you met him through that I told you about him. And they grew on the podcast. He'll know. And you guys have a lot in common. So anyway, Robert, if you listen to this, miss you, brother. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. I think the first time I had him on, this was a couple years ago. He was like 15 or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe 16. So I met him in person at Airsoft Columbia. So the guys that are the started ones that opened, yeah, in Florence, Chuck, and then I don't know if you met Chuck over there, but yeah,
the bigger dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
With the beard. Yeah. Him and Sam. I met all those guys at the one in Columbia when they, you know, before it was shut down. So I met Robert over there as well, and a handful of other people. We did a giveaway when we were there, and we did a swap with somebody. We met somebody there that we were doing that followed our channel, and they were like, I'll trade you this cool ass pistol for that sniper rifle you guys did a review on. I was like, all right, cool. And it was one of these pistols. It's like a KWA or something like that. And it had a fold out stock, and it had like a, you know, it was kind of cool, but we'd never had one before. So we did a swap with that. And, but yeah, I met Robert there. It was pretty cool, man. It's cool to meet people in person when they've been on the podcast, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, OGKG had a couple of your patches on his wall.
Yeah.
I have a couple of those pictures here, but, yeah, we're trying to get those patches out to the people that want them, and get that money over to his wife. So,
well, we'll definitely help promote it when so the morning of that day,
yeah.
Him and I were chatting, and
he reached out to a lot of people that morning. Honestly,
yeah,
he reached out to me too. He called.
I saw your. I was going to pull up your Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he reached out and said that he messed up the sticker I sent him, and he needed a new one. And could I send him another patch? And I was like, yeah, man, you know what? I said, I'll tell you, and this is what I told him on here. I said, I'll put together a box of badass stuff to send you guys. He wanted to pay me for shipping it. And I said, yeah, it might be around 20, 30 bucks, whatever. But I said, I got patches from Airsoft Dad, like, not the Airsoft Dad he knows, the one that he has not met. There's two Airsoft Dads that live in the Chicago area. Oh. So the one you guys know is Air_Soft_Dad on Instagram. Yeah. The other one is Airsoft_Dad. Okay. His name's Scott, and he's in the Chicago area as well. I did a podcast with him. I can't remember which episode it is, but if you just search it, you can find it. But so I said, so I've got patches from that Airsoft Dad plus a barrel sock, right?
Oh yeah.
And then Skirmish KIA, they're out of Texas, and a bunch of other stuff. Okay, so I was going to put all the stuff in the box that and I said, he said, well, I'm leaving tomorrow for Indiana. So I said, well, do you want me to wait to send the box until you get back? And he's like, no, you can send it, my wife will be here. Okay, so I was getting this box together. So what I thought is I'll still get the box together, but I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to start a patch wall soon here.
Yeah.
I've been getting a lot of patches from different people.
And I'm gonna tell you what I'm gonna do, okay? And I'll just go ahead and shout out the sponsors again real quick. Is because I did it before you got on.
Yeah.
I had already started as I was recording. So Skirmish. So this, come on. There we go. This bracelet, have you heard of the system yet?
I have not.
Okay. So what this is a bracelet that I have 4 or 5 of these. Now, this is the kind that you have to buy if you want to track your own stats. This, once you buy this, this goes with you everywhere. Anytime you play, if that field has the Skirmish system, no matter where you go in the world, okay, you can track your stats. And I'm talking about the checkpoints you take over, all the different things that they're set up on the field for. This has a worldwide leaderboard. It has on skirmish.net. If you go there, you can see in real time the game's going. It's top-down view of the map, and it'll show, okay, this objective is getting taken over by this colored team. And all your stats for you and your teammates, whatever individual, once you create a profile on your on skirmish.net with that bracelet, it has a number on the back you assign to you, it tracks your stats. And there's a leaderboard all the time. There's like KDK Airsoft. These guys you can see every weekend. There's a couple guys that are like vying for, you know, battling for first place with these points. It's really cool, man. It's a great system. But yeah, so I'm going to send you guys the some of these for your team. Okay. The ones that I have.
Yeah.
You won't be able to use them until the field that you go to has this system. But once they get the system, then you'll be able to use this. Or if you go to a field that already has this or an event that already has that set up, you'll be able to use it. It doesn't wear out. Okay. Like you just save it until you get somewhere, you know, go somewhere that has it. Okay.
Yeah.
And that would be really cool. So I have those sitting here. Like I was going to do a giveaway with them a while ago, but, since me and OG were talking about getting this box together, I want to put all this stuff in there and I'll send you guys something. Okay.
That'd be great, man.
Yeah. And I'll get your deets after.
Yeah. I'll reach out to Airsoft South Carolina and see if they want to, or they're going to try to do something like that.
That'd be great.
In their head and try to get started. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, but yeah, Black Ops. Yeah, if I'm not sure if.
Oh yeah, Black Ops is their Myrtle Beach field is going to be closing at some point. It's kind of like, you know, they've been talking about it for like a year now,
okay,
kind of thing.
Gotcha.
And you know how stuff is in South Carolina; it always moves slow, no matter what they're doing.
Right. So, it's so true, dude.
From road projects to, you know, everything. But
you've
seen
that meme with the road projects, right? The dude's like
every time.
We need to shut down 11 miles this way and like, bro, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I know 31 down here, which is in Myrtle. That wasn't open. It was like 2 years behind schedule or something.
Good
crazy.
Lord.
I know. It's always bad, man.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'll reach out to them about that. And Black Ops is making their new field in Conway. But I think they're waiting on permits for that. So,
oh, okay.
I hope that happens soon because it's supposed to be a lot bigger than the one in Myrtle.
Is Conway fairly close to you?
Yeah. It's up where he used to live. It's like, for me, it's like 45 minutes to an hour.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, I live in the middle of nothing. So
yeah. Okay.
For my friends, it's a lot closer. It's like 20, 30 minutes. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Now being where you're at, are you guys close enough to the beach where as you were growing up into teenage years, did you go to the beach a lot?
Yeah. I'm in Pawleys Island. So we're like literally on the beach. So
that's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so the beach was always a big thing for me. Still is. Try to go as much as I can. You know, we'll probably go out there tomorrow for Mother's Day. So
okay.
Yeah.
Do you guys do do you do any kind of water sports?
Yeah, surfing, the usual.
Okay.
I don't do it as much, but I do it more as like a hobby kind of thing.
Sure.
Not the diehard surfer, you know, like going out there.
Yeah.
It's cold and all that in the wetsuit. You won't see me doing that.
You suck.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah. It's more like just going out there with friends and hanging out. So
yeah, that's cool. Yeah. What's that? Is it skimboarding? What's that one where they throw a wooden board down, like right up on where the, you know, surf's coming up?
I'm really bad at sand. That. Yeah.
You're bad at that?
I'm really bad at that.
Okay.
I've learned my lesson on that one. Hitting the sand pretty hard. Well, I have a few friends that are pretty good at it. So
okay.
They've been showing me kind of how to do it. But
so when you jump on little front heavy, and it digs into the sand. You go face
a little
first,
back heavy, and I fall back.
Gotcha.
Yeah, okay. Or I miss the board and then fall back. You know, you think about it like doing splits kind of thing.
Oh,
like, yeah. Yeah, that's happened a couple of times.
Okay.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah, the waves down here aren't that good though for surfing either. They're kind of small. So
yeah, they're kind of small. That's yeah, in this area, like Florida has some good ones, yeah. But.
And I have friends that go to Florida and stuff and surf. I'm like, man, it's just like, yeah, I couldn't be me. Not my hobby.
Yeah. I learned how to surf when I was in the military because I was stationed in Okinawa, Japan, which is a very, very small island. So it's surrounded by water, South China Sea. And
it's the air base down there, right?
Yeah. So there we had, there's Kadena Air Base, Air Force Base there. That's what I flew into. I was in the Marine Corps. So Marine Corps base takes up most of the island.
Yeah.
And then we had, then there's Kadena base, air base on there. But we learned how to surf there very little because it's hard to get. There wasn't very big waves. And that was stationed in California, in Camp Pendleton, right on the beach. In fact, the Etzen Range is one of the training areas that we have. That's included in Etzen Range, right across Interstate 5, and it's called Red Beach. It's right, obviously, on the beach. So we would go hang out there and learn how to, and surf. And Pacific Ocean in that area, the waves are tiny, bro. Like when you get when it's before a storm and it starts kicking up a little bit, we're like so happy because we're sitting out there, we're just hanging. I had a shorty, the wetsuit, the shorties, and I would use shorty fins, right? The little small ones.
Little tiny ones, yeah.
Yeah. And so now that when I use the fins for the shortboard, the bodyboarding, when we would do bodyboarding.
Yeah.
They're like, it's not like surfing.
This one, like that one.
Yes.
The little tiny one. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where you're just hanging on and just holding it. Actually get up on it. But surfing, obviously, I'm not using the fins, but we're just hanging out there in the water and just waiting for the next set. And we're like, when something kicks up, we're like, thank God, finally, because when you try to get up and there's, a foot and a half of a wave pushing you and the water's powerful, but bro, it dies out so fast.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm up. And then,
And then you sink into the water and just stand there. Yeah.
You spend more time paddling out and waiting than you do surfing all the time.
Yep.
All the time.
At least you get a good tan though. So
yeah, absolutely. Oh dude, I was so dark. People thought I was black. I'm not even kidding.
People thought I was Mexican last year.
Yeah.
It was great.
It's funny. When I came home from Okinawa, I was so dark. I was walking up to my parents at Cleveland Airport and they were looking right past me. They didn't recognize their own son. And I'm like, I'm here. And they're like, holy cow, you look black. Oh yeah, it's funny.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool, man. You got some good hobbies, keep you in shape, keep you active. And now the airsoft stuff is gonna.
Yeah. And I played volleyball for my school down here. Nice. So that's like, just trying to play a sport, trying to do something. So yeah, I hope to do that this coming year as well, which will take up a lot of time.
3H?
I'm like 6 foot. So,
okay. Yeah.
Like getting there. Yeah.
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 Definitely.
We're getting there. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Well, did you want to show off any of your gear? You don't have to. You can if you want.
If you give me a second to grab it real quick.
Absolutely.
I kind of left it in the car and just ran upstairs and turned on my computer and was like,
oh, yeah. Go. Yeah. Go ahead, man. Then, go get it.
A couple of patches for some people. All right. So, this is the OGKG patch.
Yeah, man, looks awesome.
So after this, they will be on my story, selling for like $50, I think, plus shipping.
Yeah,
and all those proceeds are going to his wife.
Yep,
of course. And they also glow in the dark really well. So I'll show you that.
Right.
So this is the Blicky. Blowing.
That's awesome.
Turn on the light, yeah. And they,
dude, that's so bright,
bright
too.
Yeah,
what?
Super bright. Like, look at how far you can see that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, crazy how bright they are.
I'm definitely getting one of those, bro.
Yeah, so if I have an extra one, which probably will, I'll send it to you.
I'll buy it because I was going to send something to
his wife. So
yeah, I was going to send something to his wife anyway. So
yeah, for sure. Okay, so this is the gun setup right now. You know, you can't be
can't go wrong with these MTWs, bro. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to take off the MTW stock because you can't be a speed softer without a stubby stock, right? it does do the little wiggle a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But you know, it is what it is.
That's fine.
We got the mod 4 grip on there, little Amazon flashlight.
Yep.
You know, integrated suppressor kind of thing. Yep.
Love those.
The whole deal right there.
Yeah, man.
So yeah, it shoots great. I was having issues with the barrel. Like I wanted to have a shorter barrel in it. Just to make it a little bit more quiet.
Mm.
But it would only shoot like one joule, right? Whenever you're shooting it, right?
Oh,
and
wow.
that's real low for an MTW.
Real low. Yeah.
Yeah. So I put the 9-inch barrel back in there and it went back up to like 1.5. And somebody was telling me that like it's not the barrel that matters, right? It's the dwell. So I tried to change the dwell on the 7-inch barrel and it didn't change anything. So
oh, okay. I heard something about this though.
Yeah. I'm convinced the barrel does actually matter.
Yeah. I've heard something about that.
Prove me
somebody wrong. Somebody was talking about that before a long time, like last year or something, talking about how when if your barrel, I don't know, something about some compression weird. And yeah, so
I don't really understand it, but
yeah,
I mean, I tested it myself to figure out if it actually worked or not, and prove me wrong, but it did work.
Right.
Okay.
That's good.
So next thing, we'll go with the kit. So, you know, little peanut tank on the back here.
Yep.
Nothing special on the back of the kit. It's really the front that matters. So this is the Agilite. This is a whole Agilite kit. That's the company of like the carrier and the mags and all that.
Dude,
I really love their products.
When did you get this?
This was also Christmas. I just like did a lot of research and
they were, you know, they're up in they're based out of Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like the guy. So if you haven't seen it yet, if you like their gear, go find Muddy Reviews.
Oh yeah. He does.
So he's really big into gear. Look on YouTube, Muddy Reviews. I've had him on 2 or 3 times on here. He's awesome dude. He's he just retired from the Navy. And when the last time I had him on was right when everything started in Gaza. And he was doing reviews on the Agilite. He was like, dude, I can't get their stuff. He went to their website. I think we pulled it up on the podcast because they had a post that they posted about, hey, we're very close to everything that's happening right now, like in proximity. And we pretty much can't send anything out right now. There's we're arming ourselves, basically, is what they were saying.
So this was, I bought this right before all that started happening too.
And, gotcha.
You know, you may ask, why is it tan? I don't know. My mom bought it. So she got tan. I'm living with tan. That's okay with me.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I also have black shirt. Black and tan go together pretty well. So
absolutely they do.
I do run out in shorts. So
yeah,
you'll see me in shorts a lot until I find some.
And you're going to have peppered legs. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So this slaughter band right here on this mag, this is one of OGKG's and I gave his wife some money for that.
Nice.
But it's really a piece because whenever I first met him, I asked him if he had another one of these and he said no, but at some point, whenever we get good, he'll give it to me and it came first. So
nice.
Yeah. This will live with me forever.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So then he has our team patch that he made for us, the Void patch.
Yep.
And just a couple of airsoft patches.
Now that airsoft one that looks like the Pornhub one, is that
this one?
Yeah, is that from
so
Airsoft Airsoftology?
I'm not sure. A friend gave it to me. I traded him this blue Speed QB one and he was like, yeah, I can do that. And I had another one. That one right there. That's my other Pornhub one.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. Speed QB.
Yeah. That one used to be on my kit, but
okay.
For today, I ran an OGKG patch right on the middle. So
nice.
My post after this podcast will have that on it as well and be all about that. So
awesome.
Little dump pouch, you know, the Frank Dad patch. OGKG was a big supporter of Frank Dad. So
yeah,
I'll continue that as much as I can. All right. So then next. This is the battle box. This has no foam in it. All right. So I'm going to point my camera down here. So, open her up. So I literally keep all my stuff in here. Got the battery. Got the beanie.
Yeah.
It can't be a speed softer without a beanie. Shiesty. Can't be a speed softer without a shiesty. GoPro. Can't be a speed softer. Then some mechanic gloves. These are really good. OGKG like pigskins. Those were his favorite gloves. And I've been tempted to get a pair of those, but honestly, I just don't like wearing gloves. Like, I don't get shot in the finger enough to care that much about it.
Yeah.
Whenever I got to his house the other day, he had a bunch of patches that came in for him. So I posted all those. This is one of those. And I've been selling them off to my friends and stuff and giving that money to his wife.
Yeah.
Trying to do as much as I can. This speed loader is really important to me. He signed it whenever we first met.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I will have this like on my wall for a while.
Exactly.
And I think I'm just going to buy his speed loader off his wife.
Okay.
Start using that one.
Yep.
You know, iFixit kit, usual stuff. Other than that, not much. Tap. So,
that looks good, dude.
Yeah, man. It's been put together after a lot of testing and what I want to play with, you know, every day. What I need, really.
Yeah.
Okay. For my mass setup, I just have a can't be a speed softer without a diamond. It's going right.
Looks awesome, man. Yeah.
And then the last thing. So whenever I went over to his house, I took a bunch of pictures of stuff and had to figure out the situation with his high kappas and stuff. And we're still figuring that out, but they might raffle one of them off to try to get some money.
Yeah.
But this is one of his cases for his high kappa stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I really like this case because it has all of his, you know, stickers and stuff. And his patch, of course, on the middle. And then inside this John. He supported so many people. So, like, Kill House and Malevolent and all them, all the Nashville people.
Mm-hmm.
He's got stickers everywhere. And then, of course, like, his whole little setup.
Yeah.
And then the speed loader, of course. So yeah, his
awesome.
Logo is all over this thing. So
yeah,
HW MF.
Yeah,
working MF-er and just work with the axe and sledge, which is like one of his companies that he helped out with a lot. So yeah, man, just trying to do as much as I can for them, help them out as much.
I'm in the process while you're talking. I'm and showing this stuff off. I'm actually sending you some instas of people I've had on that I think you would like. So Airsoftology, Rogue Customs. I don't know if you've seen his masks, but when you showed me his mask, I thought of it. He does custom masks like yours.
Yeah,
and he does these badass paint jobs, bro. You're gonna love them when you see it.
Yeah, I've seen some of the speed softers like on Slaughter's team.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. They have like this, it looks like, what's that? Venom. It looks like Venom's mouth, like on the mask. And it looks so cool, man. Yeah. I was going to do one of those by myself, but somebody knows how to do it.
Well, he's very experienced at it, but he's also, because of that experience, he knows, how to paint them and puts a bunch of clear coat on them so that they don't chip when they get shot.
Yeah.
So he's got on, I had him on the podcast twice. And this, I think the second time he was talking about one of his masks, or maybe it was the first time, one of his masks was like 3 or 4 years old that somebody had and this person played every other weekend or something like that. Okay. Like constantly.
Yeah.
Speed soft. And, thing has zero chips on it. Like the paint is still perfect, which is pretty amazing for a mask that gets used that much when it has the special paint job on it. But
cool. I got to get something like that on mine for sure.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that would look sick. Masker was also a really big supporter of him and helped him out a lot. They sent him a bunch of patches. So whenever I went over there, of course, all of his stuff was on his desk and I grabbed a couple of those patches to hand out to kids this weekend and hopefully next weekend I'll be out there again, handing out some patches and stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna talk to Masker soon, see if he wants to do something for him. But you know, they were always a good supporter of him. They sent us a care package too, just stuff to wear. So here's another one that I really like. It's a camo one.
Nice.
Our mill centers like that a lot.
Okay.
Down in our field.
Good deal, man. Everything looks awesome. I'm looking forward to your team growing and what you guys are going to be doing over the next couple years with your Speedsoft and all that stuff. So,
yeah, man. I'm going to try to build it as big as I can and make it to that point, you know, that he wanted to be at. And you know, I had a bunch of ideas while we were in that car ride that I was talking about. He gave me so many ideas of just things that he wanted to do.
Good.
I have them all written down on my phone. So I'm going to try to do as much as that I can.
Yeah.
In the future, and you know, a lot of patch ideas. He just had so many patch ideas. Like, so you'll be seeing a lot of those on my story soon. And
awesome.
You know. Yeah, man.
All right, brother. Well, listen, man, I appreciate you being on. It's been great talking with you. Great to get to know you. You are amazingly mature for your age.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, for real. Shout out to you and your parents. Yeah, so man. Yeah, that's a good thing, man. It's and we need a lot of people like that in today's world.
Yeah,
it seems like a lot of, you know, men, young men your age and in that age group are a little bit lost, maybe, you know, not lost, but like they didn't have good role models or something, or any role models, maybe, you know, they're lacking that. And so, yeah, I appreciate what you're doing, man.
Yeah, man. Big shout out to moms around the place, you know, it's Mother's Day today. That's all that matters.
Right.
It's coming up.
Yeah.
Stuff like that.
Absolutely. Man. Shout out
moms.
That's
what matters, man. Family.
Yeah. Family matters big time. Yes, sir. Yeah. And obviously, human connection, our stories, connecting with people, helping each other really matters. And, you know, we've seen that with OG. Yeah. And, you know, we miss you, brother. If you're hearing this in the after world, okay, then, we appreciate you. Much love and respect for what you've done in the short time that we've all known you, and tribute to you, man, for real. Yeah. So, yeah, thank you so much, Ethan, for being on.
Yeah, one of his big sayings before we ended up here, don't suffer in silence, man. He was a big mental health carer. So, you know, you always have people to reach out. If you, anybody out there, you know, feel free to reach out to me. If you're suffering, you know, hit me up. We can talk. I'll take it, man. That's how it is.
Absolutely.
Hardworking motherfucker, and keep your work ethic going, man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
All right, brother.
Work for it.
I appreciate you, man. You have a good night.
Yeah, man. You as well.